This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. The 39th president of the United States has entered hospice care. CBS's Adriana Diaz reports.
Former President Jimmy Carter has decided against any further medical treatment and entered home hospice care. Mr. Carter is 98 years old. His decision follows a series of short hospital stays. This weekend, several family members have gathered at the Carter home in Plains, Georgia.
Carter's been a face of Habitat for Humanity since the 80s. CEO Karen Haycox.
He would ask you to care for your community. He would ask you what you might do to help your neighbor.
Habitat in New York City says they're praying for peace, strength, and comfort for the Carters in the days ahead. A train carrying toxic chemicals derailed in Ohio over 2 weeks ago, and some residents aren't feeling well now. Correspondent Christiane Benavides reports.
Locals are finding apparent signs of toxic chemical spill throughout town.
The whole creek just became that rainbow oil film. And I'm like, oh my, this is a lot worse than what, you know, they're telling us.
People in the community have complained of lingering headaches, scratchy throats, and burning eyes since the incident.
Officials say the air and water have been tested and are safe. The Russian war in Ukraine started almost a year ago. Outside the Munich Security Conference yesterday, more than 500 activists protested against supplying Ukraine with more weapons.
They do not talk much about peace. Just about more weapons.
They also called out the U.S. and NATO for escalating the conflict. North Korea launched another intercontinental ballistic missile. BBC correspondent Jim McKenzie says it's a warning to the U.S.
It's warning the U.S. not to hold large-scale military exercises with South Korea, due to begin next month. The countries say these drills are defensive, but North Korea interprets them as its enemies preparing to invade.
The vaccine technology used to fight COVID could also soon be used to treat other viruses. Scott Maiman with more.
mRNA has been the staple in fighting COVID-19. The Australian Development Director, Tim Mercer, says researchers found there are greater uses.
And we're starting to think, you know, maybe mRNA provides an additional tool or an additional strategy.
And that strategy is to treat cystic fibrosis. They also want to go further by developing a melanoma jab.
So President's Day is tomorrow. How did George Washington's birthday turn into a big shopping event?
Any holiday has turned into a shopping holiday.
That's CNET's Ian Schur. But why all the mattress ads?
Honestly, I think they don't have as much competition during this time.
So if you need one, he says you'll likely get a good deal. Also good deals tomorrow on TVs. So if you need one of those, go grab it. This is CBS News.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The long-term effects of Wisconsin's redistricting process were apparent in the November elections. A nonpartisan good government group says voters who feel overlooked should not give up. Mike Moen reports.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election, but Republicans maintained strong control over the legislature. Jay Heck of the group Common Cause points out that Evers maintains his veto power, but he says Republicans still carry a lot of weight, partly because they keep redrawing the maps to their advantage.
There were more votes cast for Democratic candidates statewide than Republican, but the contrast with the legislative elections in the state is so sharp, it almost makes laughable the idea that we have a true representative democracy.
Researchers have said that over the past decade, Wisconsin has produced among the most gerrymandered voting district maps in the country. Heck says voters should look ahead to next year's state Supreme Court election with the hope a less politicized court could eventually revisit the issue. And there could be legislation floated again next year to develop an independent redistricting process. In the meantime, he says the current maps allow a smaller percentage of voters to decide who controls the legislature, leaving other voters behind in fair representation.
Urban areas in Wisconsin have suffered a decline in the shared revenue from the state, even though those people pay taxes.
Heck says that means less support for schools, roads, and other public needs. Analysts say lawmakers representing these areas get packed into boundaries that ultimately diminish their voices at the state capitol. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is sponsored by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we got a pretty decent-sized show here. I just got off the phone with Bob Blake and recorded a quick update that I'll be playing here. And we also have a guest. Could you tell us a little bit about the guest before you do the rockin' news?
Sure, absolutely. So our guest tonight is Brenna from the Indigenous Peoples Task Force. Brenna is the Youth Programs Manager at the Indigenous Peoples Task Force, and she has been a part of the Native Youth Health Education Program since 2010. She is an ally to Native people and does some really wonderful work. She's going to be talking about the application for the Healing Circle and Native American Employment Training Program Cohort Number 2, as well as touching base with us because we just recently had an intern through the Indigenous Peoples Task Force, and she helped to set it up for us. So we'll touch base on that and the great work they do.
Awesome. Hey, without any further ado, I really appreciate that. And Bob Blake will be talking about the bill that's on the floor right now. So it's exciting to have things flying around at last minute here, but we're used to doing that. And it's going to be a rocking show. So, hey, Ogama, let's get with the news that you don't hear anywhere else with Ogama. With the news. Oh,
Hey, Bushu relatives. This is Ogama Kanuakwe. I am a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I have some news and information for you here on Native Roots Radio. And one of the things that I do want to talk about is that currently the 100% bill is the clean energy bill is currently on the floor in Minnesota. And there's an event that's happening right this moment, started about 10:30 this morning and runs until about 9 p.m. It's Pack the Rotunda for the 100% Senate hearing. But the idea of this bill is Governor Walz has a plan. It's a four-part plan for 100% clean energy in Minnesota by 2040. The standard would require all electric utilities in Minnesota to use carbon-free energy resources by 2040 and setting interim goals along the way. And it also strengthens Minnesota's energy standard with new goals. This is a really exciting bill that has stalled out in the Senate before, but people this year are optimistic that it's going to pass. So senators and pass in the Senate this year. So if you can show up at the rotunda at the Capitol and let senators know that they have a mandate to pass the 100% carbon-free electricity by 2040, get over there if you can. If not, make sure that you come next week for the Rise and Repair event. The week after next, I'm sorry, for the Rise and Repair rally for Indigenous rights and climate justice. That's happening February 15th at 11 a.m. That is also at the Minnesota State Capitol and ties really, really kind of tucks in right nicely with this 100% clean energy bill. Hopefully by that time on the 15th, that bill will have passed, and we'll be there to rally and celebrate its passing, as well as letting our elected officials know that we're watching them and we have the expectation that they will do right by Minnesota. So another event that I want to make you aware of is February 6th at 12 noon at the Federal Courthouse in Minneapolis is the Rise Up for Peltier event. It's for justice and freedom for Leonard Peltier, the political prisoner who has been in prison now for 48 years for aiding and abetting the murder of a federal agent of the FBI during the occupation at Wounded Knee. For reference, those who were convicted of aiding and abetting in the murder of George Floyd got less than half of the time that Leonard Peltier has spent in prison, just to kind of give you an idea of, kind of the differences that are happening there and why Peltier's continued imprisonment is political in nature. Most of you probably know next week, February 14th, is known as Red Dress Day. It is a day of honoring, remembrance, and activism for our missing and murdered Indigenous women and relatives. And there are events that are happening all over the state. And I'm sure there are also events that are happening nationwide that I have not been able to track down as of yet. But the three big ones that I want to mention are in Minneapolis, Duluth, and Bemidji. The one in Minneapolis happens Tuesday, February 14th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. starting at East Phillips Park. Again, they ask everybody if you wear red. Speakers begin at 11 a.m. and the march begins at noon at East Phillips Park. They'll have speakers, a lunch, informational tables, and more. This event is sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, the Minneapolis American Indian Center, the Indian Health Board of Minneapolis, the Native American Community Development Institute, NACDI, and the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, as well as the Little Earth Residents Association. Just about everybody down on the avenue, right, Robert?
Yeah, it sure sounds like it.
In Duluth, Tuesday, February 14th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. is the annual Memorial March for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Relatives. This is put on by the American Indian Community Housing Organization, Native Lives Matter Coalition, Men as Peacemakers, and many others. Their event starts down at the Robert Paulus Cultural Center and at the American Indian Community Housing Organization. They do have a call out in Duluth for jingle dress dancers, hand drum singers, and people to wear red for MMIWR. Red dresses, red skirts, red shirts, red shawls, all honoring survivors, solidarity shawls to come for that event. Check-in is at 11 a.m. and at 1 p.m. the event starts with a prayer. The march will start at 2:45. All are welcome at these events. So even if you're new to this movement or you don't know too much about MMIW, but it's something that you feel connected to, show up. It's really important that our relatives are there in whatever capacity they're able to be there. In Bemidji, February 14th is Justice for MMIW 218 at the Paul and Babe. That one also runs 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They are honoring and remembering our relatives, and they will start a walk from the Paul and Babe and end at the Beaux Arts Ballroom at BSU. All are welcome, and they are asking for singers and dancers to attend. And if you have any questions, check out the MMIW 218 Facebook page. So those are some of the big events that are happening around MMIW Day. Robert, this just came in recently, and I'm pretty excited about it, there's a media alert on the Aiken County Water Protectors hearing and Sheriff Dan Guida. There is a decision on this that's most likely to come in mid-May, and hopefully there's going to be some briefs and things that are happening in regards to this. But February 1st, 2023, water protectors facing charges from defending land, air, and water from Line 3 had their contested omnibus hearing at the Aiken County Courthouse, and their attorney examined Aiken County Sheriff Dan Guida on the stand about $355,000 his department received from Enbridge's escrow account and about recent allegations that he had roughed up a subpoena server. The attorney also questioned Richard Hart, who's the manager of Enbridge's escrow fund, which was used to pay county and state police officers and situations for arresting water protectors. They've raised the questions of legality about this. There was $8.5 million paid to Minnesota law enforcement agencies. So hopefully with this, there's going to be things that we're going to see coming up in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, hopefully. Hey, we got a special report from Bob Blake on in his car, and then we're going to get to Brianna. And you are listening to Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wah.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun today with highs around 42. Winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 25. Tonight, cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 40. Low 30s Tuesday and Wednesday with mixed precipitation possible at times Wednesday. 1 to 2 inches of snow Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Muskego to Pewaukee. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition here on Native Roots Radio. We're also really excited. Looks like he's just arrived. We have playwright Claude Jackson, who just has having opening night at the San Francisco Playhouse for his new production called Cashed Out. Welcome, Mr. Jackson.
Thank you for having me.
Well, hey. Sorry, Ogama.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to ask Claude if he wanted to introduce himself to our listeners.
Oh, thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Claude Jackson. I'm a member of the Gila River Indian community, also part Hopi, out of Arizona. Gila River is south of Phoenix area. I was born and raised in Phoenix, and member of my tribe. I'm also an attorney for my tribe. I handle public defense, but I've done many, many things in terms of the law for my community, including ICWA cases. And I'm also a writer, and I just happened to get commissioned to write a play, and then I'm over here in San Francisco, and yes, opening night is coming on. Thank you.
Wow, that's exciting. And again, welcome to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake. And, you know, it's exciting that you had it was first an abbreviated play, and then people saw what you want, and then they made you work more. And we're trying to figure out, you're a full-time attorney and a playwright, and I can barely tie my shoes here. But it's good to hear that you're your tribe's attorney, too, because on the off days here, I'm a legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation, too, mm-hmm. so I'm in the government business. We don't talk about that here much on the radio, but I know you're very busy. So how exciting was that to have them, or was it frightening, or did you feel like, hey, I have more things to say?
It was you pretty much described it all, a little frightening, because I just didn't know anything of what was happening when they decided to commission it. And even when they chose, San Francisco chose this as part of their season, I just had to turn it over to people that I had to trust, that I really didn't know. But they gave me a great director, Tara Moses, native cast, and were very, very respectful of my tribe, and it just went from there. And I really been like, don't know, I don't know what to expect beyond opening night, beyond closing. I'm just having the time of my life, just enjoying it.
Well, you and your brother wrote a play, In Circles, mm-hmm. which is streaming on Amazon Prime and other outlets. So you're a veteran of this of some sorts, but you know, what's your process? Do you write two pages a day, or, you know, I heard if you do two pages a day, you'd have a full book at the end of the year. what is your process?
Well, it's when I could find time for it. I don't sit down and say I'm going to write this many pages, or I'm going to write for this amount of time a day, because I can get not only caught up with my regular job, but also I got a family, and I got an 8-year old that demands my time, and she better get it. So, but when the mood hits me, I can go full bore, and I'm pretty fast with it. And what I'd like to do is just get it down on paper, and then I can work on the rewrites, and that's much more fun to do that. Then you're cutting, you're adding, you're really getting to know your characters after you've done your first draft.
Hey, we're talking to playwright Claude Jackson Jr. about his play. Well, we're talking about him, but let's talk a little bit about his play, Cashed Out. It's a story of three generations of women that live in the Gila River Indian Community Reservation in Illinois, in Arizona. Oops, sorry, there I got the Midwest. big difference, right? And temperature, too. We're like 20 below here in Minnesota now. But tell us a little bit about that. I know we always talk about the seventh generation, and that's the generations that precede us and the ones that are forward, that we protect the water and protect our way of life. So what was your inspiration with these three generations? Are they people you knew, or people that were in your family or are in your family? How what was the inspiration on that?
In talking about the strength of a family, the women in my family who have taken care of me, my grandmothers, my mom, my wife now. And so those were, I knew that I can draw that strength from them. One of the key to this play was, it is a tragedy, and originally the theme, when it was a short play, the theme was gaming, and so I just try to come from a place when I submitted this play I just wanted it to stand out. So I chose it being a tragedy. And then I wanted to talk about addiction. That's something that's lived in my family for many generations. And so I just went with gambling addiction. And it's not something that I'm overly familiar with or was, but addiction is addiction. So I went with that. And then I wanted to talk about the not only the struggles, but from an aspect of life on the res, of traditions and customs. I chose basket making because the Autumn people of Gila River are well known for their basket making out in Arizona. And even though I don't have any of that background, so that took some research as well. And so that's where I went with it. And I wanted to present characters that were strong women that lived on the res, that wanted to be out on the res, that were doing all they can to help this particular person, the main character named Rocky Camus, to overcome her gambling addiction. And so, you know, in the end, like I said, it's a tragedy, but the young daughter of Maya is someone that, you know, the audience is going to come away with knowing that this young girl is going to be all right. Her great aunt is there for her. The rest of the community is there for her. And she's making, you know, strong decisions herself, even at a young age, that she's going to break the cycle of addiction.
Wow, that's awesome. You know, we talk about before gaming came into our tribe up here, when we did basket weaving, we were on the side of the road selling those to mm-hmm. maintain, you know, our aunties and our gagas to maintain some kind of cash flow. And it's a long tradition here mm-hmm. for Ho-Chunks, too. So it's really interesting. So there is a fine line between addictive personality, so addiction to drugs and addiction to gambling. It's a hard thing because it's so everybody does it in a sense of like mm-hmm. people gamble. So do you have addiction? You hide it. All these things that wrap up into it. So it's a poignant story for us, especially in, you know, with COVID. We had the addictions in the parking lot doing push-ups because we were so worried about COVID, and we were still having mm-hmm. our members pass mm-hmm. on with these addictions. So it's great to have you put this in the forefront of your play.
Thank you. Yeah, and I mean, if I could add too, is that, you know, ironically, Indian gaming has been very beneficial to me. I would not have graduated undergrad years ago. I would not have become a lawyer. My tribe paid for my education, and although I wasn't mandated to come back and work for my tribe, it was always in the back of my mind. And you know, I've been with my tribe for 17 years, working as an attorney. So it's provided for me. It's provided for my family, and so I'm grateful for that opportunity. And I wanted to talk about addiction in this regard, and I wanted it to stand out. So that's the path I chose in getting this play done.
Hey, Ogama, we got less than a minute here. Do you want to just ask the question and we'll ponder during the commercial? Did you have a question?
I was actually just noticing the time and was going to let people know that Cashed Out's opening night at the San Francisco Playhouse is tonight. If you're in the San Francisco area and you're tuning in, you can go to sfplayhouse.org or call the box office for San Francisco Playhouse. Performances go January 26th through February 25th, so you can get your tickets and make a plan to go see this. This sounds like a wonderful production, and I'm excited to talk with you more in the next segment.
Thank you.
Right on. Hey, we're with, I want to say Superman Claude Jackson Jr., but playwright and full-time lawyer and all-around groovy native dude. We'll be right back after this short break. Talk a little bit more about the play that's opening and how excited we are to support you and hear more about it. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Hey,
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Former President Carter is under hospice care now at his home in Plains, Georgia. He's been a face of Habitat for Humanity since the 80s. CEO Karen Haycox.
He's the first one on the site in the morning and very often the last one to leave by the end of the day.
Some residents of East Palestine, Ohio are still concerned about their health almost 2 weeks after a train carrying toxic chemicals derailed there.
You got people who are going to be real skeptical.
FEMA just arrived. North Korea. Korea launched another intercontinental ballistic missile. BBC correspondent Jean McKenzie.
Rather than testing the weapon itself, it was testing its military's ability to launch the missile at short notice. The launch is proof, Pyongyang says, that it could successfully attack the United States with nuclear weapons.
The launch came a day after it threatened to take strong measures against South Korea and the U.S. over their joint military exercises. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lin.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Cardall put out these weird, sad videos interviewing incapacitated elders in their nursing homes that don't have the ability to say, don't use me as your political prop.
If they are what you say they are, then you shouldn't be doing it how you did it.
Yes, it was the kids using the parents as props. Well, my old man hasn't talked since 76. Of course he would have voted for Trump. That's the evidence. Videos. People that can't talk.
It is wrong. So it's absolutely wrong.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
They can't tell you one thing that Ron Johnson has done to support them. I don't understand that. I never will understand it. I know we've got conservative listeners, but I asked them to point to one thing that Ron Johnson has done to make their lives any better, and they can't point to any of it.
Conversations that hit home every day. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Hey, we're with the guest, Claude Jackson Jr., cashed-out writer, playwright. Just talking a little bit about the play. There's three generations of women and dealing with the battles and triumphs of fighting addiction and upholding the traditions of their tribe. As Rocky seeks her big break at the casino and tries to live up to her legacy, her family struggles to cope with the ups and downs of their gambling addiction. That's a mouthful, Claude. Thanks again for being on and talking about this important story. Were you able to watch the rehearsals of the play as the writer? Or did you do any rewrites? And you're muted right now. He's unmuting.
I apologize.
No problem.
Yes, I did a plenty of rewrites, and I started we're in the middle of doing previews, so we're performing before live audiences, and then I had I was here for those rehearsals, performances now, these previews. We've been hammering out, lines here and there. I was here about maybe an hour or so ago. I went down to the Playhouse to help fix a line that we needed. We needed some extra time in terms of doing a transition. So it's been quite an experience. I personally, I'm recovering from a quadruple bypass surgery back in October. So I was kind of laid out for up until a few weeks ago. And so since then, I've been able to move around and travel here. Other than that, I was doing everything on Zoom when I was helping with the rehearsals.
Wow. Rewrites and up to the minute. I love the theater. I have a place in New York, and we always go to the theater whenever I visit. And the theater, to me, it's the actors give off the audience, and the audience, it's a give and take, and it's always different every night. So that's exciting, and you're going to be able to experience that more now that you're feeling better. So that's even more exciting. Just the daily hype and seeing your art come to life is got to be a great feeling.
Oh, it is. I've shared this story before that, deep down, I think I was I really wanted to be a theater kid in high school, in college, and I just never did. I never went out for anything. For whatever reason, maybe I just was fearful of it. I don't know. But I also wanted to always be a writer. I was kind of always doing that in the background. So when this opportunity came to be a playwright, about a little less than 10 years ago, I just fell into it. I sit in as many meetings as I can, rehearsals. I just like being around that community of especially the actors and directors that are really committed to this. They just want to tell stories, and I admire them about that. And they are so serious about their profession. And again, you can't help but admire all of that.
Oh, Ogama's got a question. That is beautiful. Go ahead, Ogama.
Yeah, and you just kind of transitioned beautifully in that, too. It says you recently acted in Cornerstone Theater Company and Arizona State University's production of Native Nation and the Arizona State University production of Indian School. So you take on acting as well as playwriting. Is that right?
Yeah, I did take that on. I kind of just fell into it. Larissa Fasthorse is the one that did. She's the one that wrote Native Nation, and so it was good to meet her as a playwright. She's been very, very helpful to me, and then I auditioned for another role at Arizona State, which is in my area. It's my alma mater, and so I acted in there, and I really liked it. I took an acting class at the community college a few years ago. And the excuse I was telling everyone is because, well, I'm an attorney. I have a lot of, I do a lot of jury trials. I just want to project. I want to, be good with public speaking. But honestly, it was just so I can get up and do dialogue and monologues.
Well, just to let you know, too, I wouldn't feel bad if you did a play about a radio show and then start, and gave me a little shout out to come and try out for the play.
now I've It's up here now.
You better watch out, Robert. Be careful what you wish for.
I know. I'm going to work. I'm going to start workshopping that.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, I'll bring you up here to Minneapolis, which has more theaters per capita than any place in the United States next to New York City. So we're ready for you. And you'd have to have Ogma on, too, because she does all the work. And I just come in and, you know, you can have her complaining and be maybe her the star of the play.
I could be your first place stagehand. I'll do all that background work.
You do the background work and the director, you know, do it all.
Exactly. Well, you know, do you, in all seriousness, do you think about the next play, or are you concerned, concentrated on this one?
No, I'm thinking about the next play. I've got a few that I was working on one a little bit earlier and cleaning up an old one. And so I finally have had time to work on these other ones. And I have a few ideas. Some ideas are some television pilots and screenplays. It's just fun writing. I just love doing it. I never have any expectation that anything's going to be produced or not. I just want to tell a good story, write it out. And maybe in 10 years, my daughter can discover them. And she'll have fun with them as well. So.
Well, you know, we've had the Reservation Dogs on a bunch of times, and a couple of those guys, or one of them for sure, is a writer, Bobby Wilson, who was a student of mine when I taught high school here in St. Paul.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, it's a small community of natives. But, you know, I would have never thought that he would be where he's at now. You know, I think he graduated 2004. From high school, and it's just amazing when you put one foot in front of the other, and there you are. And that's sounds like a little bit of your story too.
It really is. It's just been, you know, I tell everyone that I always feel like a lottery winner. I mean, I feel very blessed, very very fortunate. I'm now meeting people in the theater community, much like I met in the law community, that have just been mentors, have helped me along the way. And of course, I'm going to pay that back. I'll help anyone that comes my way, has questions, needs any advice, because I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're here for. And things pay off in the end. And so I'm a firm believer of that.
Right on. Yeah. You have to give it away to keep it for sure. It's interesting. Do you feel, because, you know, we started the show 6 years ago during Standing Rock and the big pipeline, and because there was so much misinformation. And I feel like, you know, the Eighth Fires went everywhere and had a show like this. We had Rutherford Falls. We had Prey. We had Reservation Dogs. We have There, you know, an author, a book, I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but there's an expansion that we haven't seen in decades of Native American artists really put out in the forefront. Do you feel like it's part of that big push with the fighting of the pipeline that helped you, or you've been around a long time?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, I just turned 50. I do understand that a lot of the entertainment, a lot of the artwork, it's, especially in the media the genres of the media of film and plays and television just weren't there up until recently. And it's just really a great time to be in this field, to be especially to be a performer and to be a writer. And I think the outside world is really seeing that this is a fertile ground for talent, and that these stories that are being told, it's just a fresh voice that everyone should be looking for. And I think that that the powers that be are finally seeing that. You know, these stories, you know, our stories actually, I mean, they come from a different place, but the stories in general that mean for like entertainment value, I mean, the Greeks were doing it thousands of years. Right. I mean, they were doing it long before Shakespeare or anything like that, or before, before the colonizers came. So the stories we're telling, it's, again, there's a freshness, a newness to this. You know, we just know how to tell our own stories. I'll just say it that way.
Right on. Yeah. And I think, too, in all seriousness, I think, you know, the way history was when I was young is that, you know, we were dinosaurs and we are not there. And I guess they're really realizing that we're still here and that we're a vital community amongst them, whether they know it or not. And I think they're catching on and a lot of people are enjoying this. I'm with a Claude Jackson Jr. and we're talking about his play that's premiered, Cashed Out. We're really excited to have you on here, and I don't know, Ogma, do you have a last question before we go?
You know, I don't have a last question, but I did just have a last statement. I put it in the chat, but I'm really happy that Claude chose a tragedy for the play, because I think there's a lot of really excellent humor that's happening in Indian country. But personally, I've always identified with, you know, the tragic and the dramatic aspects of Native writing. And I'm really excited to hear that there's, you know, a drama tragedy live action play to be able to see, and I really hope it can come here to Minnesota.
That's one of the I was asked that by some students the other day when they came to see the play, and what do I want on its play. I mean, I want to bring it back to Arizona, of course, because that's where my people are at, but I want this to travel. I do want to bring it to many different communities, different places that I feel will appreciate it. And so hopefully it gathers some legs and roadshow.
Right on. Hey, Pina Gigi, thank you so much for coming in, Claude Jackson, with Playwright of Cashed Out premiering this week. And we're going to have you on again. And I know there's a fine line between tragedy and comedy. I do remember that from school. So I feel that every day when I'm on the radio. So thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Right on. Hey, we'll be right back. We got Nancy with a guest here. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us, please.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
God, I'm so stressed. It's a brand new year and our business is busier than ever.
Ooma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Ooma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 35 features.
Ooma?
Yep. Switching to Ooma is a cinch. Starts at $19.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Now you're feeling it. Visit Ooma.com. That's OOMA.com to learn more. Ooma. Smart communications for the smarter business.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun today with daytime highs approaching 42. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows level off around 25. Cloudy again tomorrow, 40. Low 30s Tuesday and Wednesday with a chance for mixed precipitation Wednesday. 1 to 2 inches of snow Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Howl!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, one more time, everybody. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh, we got to do it over again. Audrey didn't howl. Hey, yeah. she's muted. She's ventriloquist. It's a silent movie. Hey, Nancy, welcome. You got Audrey on, and we really appreciate that. Why don't you take over the last part of the show? You and Audrey, do your thing.
Sure. Again, I'm Nancy Beaulieu, and I work for Minnesota 350 here in the Great North. And I just want to give a shout out to them for supporting the work that we do. So just yesterday, I got to spend a good day with our teammates and, you know, share the work that we do up here to continue to do what we do. And I think this little piece I'm about to share is really exciting for me to be working on. It's our Beltrami County Treaty 101 Summit to take place this spring. And our goal is to call on our allies, our elected officials at the city, the county, and tribal and community leaders to respect our difference and learn to build an understanding and kind of lean in and build relationships treaty style, because treaty is intended for us to live in peace, to be good stewards of Mother Earth, and to preserve and protect our Native culture. So again, it's about respecting nationhood, tribal sovereignty, and self-determination. And I think, you know, coming out of the firelight encampment and, you know, having, you know, that dismissal was huge news, because again, we reminded the state of Minnesota that they lack subject matter jurisdiction over the Anishinaabe, protecting their natural resources on or off the reservation. So I think this summit is going to kind of move some of the good work that Audrey and others have been working on here in northern Minnesota in respect to nationhood. So I want to welcome in Audrey Thayer, who is our new counselor at large at the Bemidji City Council. Welcome, Audrey.
Oh man, Audrey, we're not able to hear you.
You look good.
You look fabulous. Your background's great. Everything is good. Maybe just try leaving and coming back. Yeah. Sometimes if you leave the studio and then join the link again, sometimes that can help. But in the meantime, Nancy, I don't know if you wanted to touch base just a little bit more. So sure. Audrey is the new counselor at large in Bemidji, Minnesota, right? This her second term in that position?
No. She was Ward 1, and she ran for the counselor at large, which is kind of the mini mayor position. So I hope, you know, she flexes her elderness and her sovereignty in a good way. And again, you know, moving forward, I think, you know, relationships with people like Audrey and Tim Sumner, who is a Red Lake Band member from the Beltrami County Commissioners Board, is really important to the work that we here do in northern Minnesota, because our goal is to work towards a transition to environmental and racial justice based around treaty obligations. So there's a lot of good work moving forward. So, you know, again, I can't stress how important it is to have people like Audrey and Tim and have them in our corner is a big plus to our position here in northern Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't think that can be understated. That is huge, and I think, you know, our allies that listen to this show, just think about that. You're on your own land, you have no representation, and you're doing what government does, and they don't think about you and think about your ways and think about your rights, think about your creator or any of these things that is a daily thing for us natives, Nancy.
Right. You know, again, you know, just doing what I do is actually, I'm just following our original instruction that I mentioned in many shows before. And I hope people, you know, would say, hey, I want to do what she does, because my role is to inspire other people to be strong again and to, you know, be out there like I am. So I see Audrey's back.
Oh.
So, no sound from Audrey yet, and she does look good.
I know. I love that brick wall too. If there are listeners that are watching on YouTube and Facebook, looks good. Looks cool. I'm about to sneeze, so you and Ogama talk for a second.
Sure.
Well, and Audrey, I think you can hear us, so I just wanted to tell you, you know, congratulations on your election, and I'm really excited to hear that you're going to be working in Bemidji. You know, having lived in Bemidji, I had seen some problems there, you know, with the way sometimes the Native community is received by the non-Native community there, and I have been nothing short of awestruck of the amazing work that's been done by you and other Native people in that area, like Nancy and Tim Sumner and others, you know, just to make sure that those voices are heard. So I can't stress enough how important you are.
Maybe we can do yes and no questions. We can just have Audrey shake her head yes or no.
That could work.
Is it good to be here, Audrey? Let's see if she shakes her head. Yes, she's shaking her head yes for people that are on the radio listening.
We've had Audrey on a lot of times before during her first campaign for Ward 1. We had her on pretty regularly to talk about her her experiences in the campaign. And Audrey, was your campaign for the at-large position any easier than your campaign for the ward? No, it wasn't any easier. Was it harder? Yes. Do you have more power as the counselor at large?
No.
Than the ward one? No. Is it the same level of power?
Yes.
That's good. Do you have more or less constituents as the at-large? More constituents as the at-large than the ward one. That's really a lot.
So, Ogama, I want to give Audrey a quick shout-out, too. During COVID, when COVID first happened, we did symposiums, and they were Sunday night, and just all around Turtle Island. And Audrey was one of the people that came on and spoke her truth about what was happening up in the deep north. And you know, I forget about that because it doesn't seem like it, or it seems like it's a long time ago. And I just want to give you a quick shout out, Audrey, and you know, thank you, Peeny Gigi, for the T-shirts too, and all the cool stuff, hand sanitizer for Audrey Thayer for at that time. I didn't get anything in your last election. I just wanted to throw that out there, Nancy.
Oh dear, Robert. Yeah. So this is, you know, you know, Audrey is a fine example of why we need to get out and vote. And when you think about, you know, 2024, it seems like it's far away. But again, Robert, you know, you just mentioned how quick time goes by. So I think it's really important that, you know, we continue to talk about why voting matters, because again, it's people like Audrey, you know, bringing our voice to the table and supporting the work that we do collectively. And again, you know, we couldn't do it without these people in the inside, you know, showing up in a good way and being a good voice for our people. And again, you know, with the help of Audrey and Dan and the support of the Bemidji City Council, for the first time in its history, the Bemidji City Council has posted the Red Lake, the Leech Lake, and the White Earth tribal flags. And that's big news, but it's only one small step forward. And again, you know, working for Minnesota 350 and defending the treaties, I think this is an opportunity for us to, again, work together as treaty people to create a space to build an understanding. And what does the transition to environmental and racial justice look like based around treaty obligations? And again, we have to remind ourselves, we're the first city on the Mississippi, and we should be leading by example. And what Line 3 has done, you know, out towards the firelight encampment is very devastating. And I think we have to take something from that and learn how to protect our water into the future. And I think we're in a good place right now to make sure things that, you know, are working, and that we call on our non-Native.
She froze.
I think we just
lost her way. Hey, if you're listening to the, I want to thank Audrey for coming on, and Nancy, and I want to thank Ogama for the great news segment, and Claude Jackson, playwright of Cashed Out. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coop, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. Free Leonard Peltier now.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house.